Thank you, Father, that we now have this opportunity to come and to hear you speak. Would we be those who respond in faith and in obedience for Jesus' sake? Amen. Well, do be seated. And I wonder if you ever wonder, is the Christian life meant to be like this? That is, we've heard the gospel message about Jesus, we've believed it, we've turned to Jesus as Lord, maybe with initial excitement, but now as we go on serving him, well, we're not so sure. We speak of Jesus, we talk of him, our great and glorious King, but all around us, the world simply rejects him. And those around us seem to get on okay. They seem to enjoy their lives, and we explain how serious it is to reject Jesus, but it seems to make no difference. They get away with it. And the advance of the gospel now seems so desperately slow. It all seems so weak. And so maybe we wonder, have we got this right after all? Even, is Jesus really the one? Well, if that is us, we're not the first to feel this way. John the Baptist himself also questioned whether he'd got it right. That's what we discover in today's reading in Matthew's Gospel. But we also see how Jesus responds to it. So turn with me to Matthew chapter 11 as we pick up where we left off and carry on through Matthew's Gospel. It's page 983. Page 983. Bottom right-hand corner there, Matthew chapter 11, starting at the first verse. When Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and preach in their cities. Now when John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" And Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. And the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me." As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before me.' Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you are willing to accept it, he is Elijah who is to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." You may have been here when we last encountered John the Baptist in Matthew's Gospel back in chapter 3. Do you remember he came preaching that message, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." And do you remember his demands that people listen? Because he was warning that the one to come was going to bring that winnowing fork, do you remember, in his hand. He would clear the threshing floor, gather the wheat into the barn, but the chaff would be burnt with unquenchable fire. It was a strong warning from John. Action required. But now here in chapter 11, we're told at the beginning there, John is languishing in Herod's prison. We'll hear more about that in a few chapters' time. But obviously in prison, John is getting updates on the progress, and that leaves him puzzled. So here he sends his disciples with this question. Verse 3, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" Well, how will Jesus answer? We discover his response gives us three things to learn about him. The first is quite simply this, which is that Jesus is the King God promised. Jesus is the King God promised. Now remember, Jesus didn't burst onto the scene from nowhere. He came to Israel, and they had the scriptures, and the scriptures have the promises of God about how God would break into our world to rule and rescue his people. And John was pointing to Jesus and saying, he's the one. But now he's saying, is he the one to come or not? Jesus says, tell John what you see and hear. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, deaf hear, dead are raised up, the poor have good news preached to them. Those are astonishing things, aren't they, that Jesus did. They're a summary of what we saw in Matthew 8 to 10. But the way Jesus phrases it here should have rung bells for John and for all the Israelite hearers, because Jesus is picking up the language of Isaiah. Now, on the sheet, you'll see there are a whole list of references. They're very exciting to look up because Isaiah said what God would do when he broke into our world. And Jesus does them, one by one, these astonishing miracles. And his teaching, it all shows he is the one, the king God had promised to send. And so Jesus goes on, verse 6, and blessed is the one who is not offended by me. Now, verse 6 there is actually a weighty verse. We might have missed it because of the language we just heard Jesus use. The word blessed today, we use it, don't we, in, well, almost trite, sometimes sentimental sorts of ways. So we don't think too much of it. But think instead of the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And on it goes. Blessed by God is a very big deal indeed. It is to enjoy life as God meant it to be, starting now and into eternity. And then there's the word offended. Or actually, literally, Jesus says, blessed is the one who does not stumble because of me. And again, we might think stumbling doesn't sound too bad. But as we look how Jesus uses the word elsewhere, and again, he's picking up on Isaiah. Actually, the stakes couldn't be higher, because to stumble ultimately is to fall away from God forever. So Jesus says, blessed is the one who is not offended by me. So Jesus is telling John and all his hearers and us, look at his words, look at his actions, look what he can do, see how they fulfill the scriptures, realize he must be the king God had promised to send. So come to him and you will be blessed forever. But if you look at Jesus and think he doesn't quite fit what I want, what I expect, that you are offended by him. In other words, you don't think Jesus is the one who can deliver and meet your deepest needs. Well, be warned, you will stumble. Before we move on, we've got to ask the question then, well, why was John the Baptist questioning about Jesus? And we need to remember the content of John's preaching. Do you remember the emphasis? He preached that God's great and glorious king was coming to bring judgment on God's enemies. And he was absolutely right. You could go back to those quotes in Isaiah. If you look up each of them where it speaks of the wonderfully, so to speak, positive things we'll do, Jesus did in terms of teaching and miracles, each of them also speak of another good thing, which is actually the judgment that he will bring. But John, it seems, is asking, but where is this judgment? You can imagine him in prison. Well, what kind of victorious kingdom was this when he was languishing in jail? And so today we might feel a bit like John. We're not in prison, but we too think the gospel just seems so weak. It looks like those who oppose it call the shots. And so Jesus would say to us, look again at the evidence, what he said and did. Look how he fulfilled the prophecies like no one before or since. But yes, he hasn't yet fulfilled them all. But he has given us more than enough to go on. Like John, we need to understand Jesus will do every last thing Isaiah prophesied. And in fact, next week, as we read on in Matthew, Jesus will speak of the judgment he will execute. But that we wait for. Now we are blessed if we are not offended by him. So Jesus really is the king God promised. Next, John the Baptist prepared the way for Jesus by speaking of him. John the Baptist prepared the way for Jesus by speaking of him. So you'll remember John the Baptist drew a huge following But you might think, well, isn't this all now a bit awkward? Maybe Jesus isn't too pleased with John for asking this question. Actually, it turns out far from it. As we read on, Jesus wants to commend John to us, both what he did and how he did it. So notice Jesus says to the crowds in verse 7, he wants them to think about what they went out in the wilderness to see. He asks, was John a reed shaken by the wind? That is, changing his message to please his hearers. Well, certainly not. He stuck to his message, which is why he ended up in prison, because he even stuck to it before Herod. Was John dressed in soft clothing? That is, going after the nice things in life. Well, hardly. You'll find them in, so to speak, king's houses, those who are going up in the world. John stuck to his message and, if you like, was very much going down. And so, verse 9, what then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. So for Jesus to say that John was a prophet is to ascribe to him high honour. But Jesus, as we see, says there's even more to John. Verse 10, this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. Jesus there is quoting Malachi, and Malachi is the last prophet in the Old Testament. That comes right at the end of the Old Testament scriptures. If you like, God finished the Old Testament by saying, wait for the one who will prepare the way for my king. And Jesus says that messenger is John. And so, verse 11, truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. Well, just think, by this point, who had been born of women? We'd had Noah and Abraham and Moses and Joshua and David and Isaiah and Daniel and Esther and all those others, heroes of faith. Jesus says, John the Baptist, he's the greatest. Women to think, why? How could Jesus say such a staggering thing about John? And of course, Jesus' point isn't actually that John himself is so great. Actually, what Jesus says is even more staggering because he's really talking about himself. He's saying John is greater than all the rest because he's the one that gets to point you to me. And I am the great one, Jesus is saying. And so, verse 13, for all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. Jesus is saying all the Old Testament, law and prophets, were actually looking forward. They were God's words pointing to the one to come. And in a sense, they came to a conclusion in John. As John said, it's all about this one, Jesus. Because verse 14, if you're willing to accept it, he is Elijah who is to come. Again, you look at the last page of the Old Testament, Malachi had said this messenger to come would be Elijah. Not that it would be the great prophet come back to life, but one in a role like his. And so when John burst onto the scene in Matthew's Gospel, he was dressed like and ate like Elijah to make us realize this is the one. And so if we've grasped all that, what follows? Verse 15, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Jesus is saying to John, to the crowds, to us, pay attention to all that the Old Testament has said about him. Then you'll understand who Jesus is, the significance of his coming. Don't be satisfied with a merely superficial understanding. If you like, picking and choosing certain things and then saying Jesus must be like this. Take it all in and realize how momentous the coming of Jesus is. And Jesus' point must be that if you do that, you will grasp better why things were as they were in Jesus' day and in ours. Because you go back even to Isaiah, read all of it carefully, and yes, Isaiah spoke of the miracles of the king and the judgment the king would bring, but he also spoke of the death of the king and what that would achieve. Yes, Isaiah did speak of the sin of the world that must be judged, but Isaiah also spoke of the compassion of God, which would take the good news of forgiveness to all the nations. So as we listen carefully, we begin to grasp that yes, Jesus will do all of those things, He can't do them all instantaneously. They must be worked out over time. So listen, because John the Baptist in the Old Testament prepare the way for him. And then third, we are in an even better position to speak of Jesus today. We are in an even better position to speak of Jesus. Did you notice we jumped over a little bit, including the end of verse 11, where Jesus says this to his hearers, "Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." Well, that's another astonishing statement. Pick your favorite Old Testament character, and Jesus is saying that you are greater than him or her. The rest of the New Testament says, look back to those Old Testament heroes, emulate their faith. But Jesus says, anyone in the kingdom of heaven, that is, anyone who's now trusting in Jesus this side of his coming, is greater than those who came before. I trust we're asking, what does Jesus mean? Why can he say that? And it's like with John, the point isn't really so much about us and our greatness. The point is, it's about Jesus and what has changed because he has come. Because Jesus has now come, we are now this side of his death and resurrection and the beginning of the spread of the gospel to all nations. So we now understand better what the Old Testament was talking about, how it all fits together, how it all points to Christ. And so we can speak all the more clearly of the God who keeps his promises, who rescues people to be in his kingdom forever. And Jesus is telling us this so that we will do this. That is, so that we will speak of what we know. You might say, well, why wouldn't we? Of course we'll speak like this. Except, of course, if we remember Matthew 10. Do you remember we had that series? And it's all really about the challenges of speaking for Jesus and the opposition that will come. And so it makes sense, doesn't it? In this very next chapter, Jesus says, look at John. Do you remember he spoke up clearly, unbendingly? He ended up suffering in prison for what he did. And he was great because he spoke of Jesus. And now he's connecting us to John and saying we too will be great, even greater, because we can speak all the more clearly of Jesus. So learn from the example of John. Don't fold when the winds come. Don't look for the comfortable life and adjust the message accordingly. Give yourselves to making Jesus known. We know that if we do that, the world will think little of us. But Jesus is saying, therein is true greatness. So Jesus is the King God promised. Don't be offended by him. John the Baptist in the scriptures prepared the way by speaking of him. So listen. And now we today, this side of Jesus coming, his death and resurrection, are in this even better position to speak of him. So do that. Let's pray as we close. Father, thank you again that Matthew records for us the wonders of what Jesus said and did. Thank you for showing us so clearly that he is the King you promised to send. So keep us listening so we understand rightly all that he came to do, that we might continue to follow him faithfully in this hostile world. And we do thank you for your patience, delaying your right judgment so that this good news of forgiveness can go to all the nations. And so would we individually and as a church here at St. Bennet's make the most of the opportunities you give us to speak of Jesus. Amen.